Do not worry if the children make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It is indeed a joyful noise. Our New Testament scripture today comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 10. It is one of the I Am sayings that John has Jesus identifying himself. Let us listen for God's word to us. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up. I have received this command from my Father. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Move among us with your Holy Spirit, O Lord, and speak your word through my words. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the most beautiful and enduring images in all of Scripture is the image of the shepherd and the sheep. The prophet Isaiah spoke of the coming Messiah as the one who would feed his flock like a shepherd. And then there is the most beautiful of all of our songs from Israel's hymn book, Psalm 23, which we all said together, in which the psalmist describes God as a shepherd. In the New Testament, Jesus himself speaks about the searching, seeking love of God when he asks, which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one who is lost till he finds it? Is there any more beautiful image in the Bible than the image of the shepherd and the sheep? But there's only one problem with this beautiful image, this analogy, this metaphor. If God is our shepherd, it means that we are the sheep. Personally, I think there are a lot of animals that I would rather be than a sheep. I'd rather be a dog, because dogs are faithful and loyal to their owners. As a dog, all I'd really ask in return is some kibble in my bowl, a steady supply of water, a backyard full of trees to sniff, and most of all, someone to pat me on the head and scratch me behind the ears. Any day of the week, I would rather be a dog than a sheep. Or maybe I'd be a lion, strong and proud, you know, the king of beasts. It's a tough world out there, a veritable jungle. And if you're not careful, someone will swallow you alive. How much better to have big teeth and a strong jaw to tear into others before they can tear into me. If I had to choose between being a sheep and a lion, I'd be a lion, wouldn't you? Then again, maybe I'd be an eagle, so that I could soar across the sky like the members of the Steve Miller Band. I'd like to fly like an eagle to the sea. I want to fly like an eagle. Let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. Given the choice, wouldn't you rather be an eagle than a sheep? But no, time and again, the Bible says that God or Jesus is the shepherd and we are the sheep. I don't know much about sheep because my father was a dairy farmer. I know a lot about cows. But sheep are not known for being very smart. And the last thing I would say about this congregation is that you're not very smart. We have some of the smartest, brightest people I've ever met in this congregation. If it's really true that sheep are dumb, then to say that we are like sheep is just not right. Now, people who know sheep have told me that they're not nearly as dumb as most people think. According to one author, that's just an ugly rumor made by cattle ranchers. And all because sheep do not behave like cows. And this is how the author puts it. Cows are herded from the rear by hooting cowboys cracking whips, but this will not work for sheep at all. Stand behind sheep and make a loud noise, and they'll just run around behind you because they prefer to be led. Sheep will not go anywhere that someone else will not go first, namely the shepherd, the one who goes ahead of them to show them that everything is all right. No, it's not that sheep are dumb, and that's why they get into so much trouble. The reason sheep get into trouble is because they like to wander astray. It's not that there is some evil sheep gene that forces them to go look for trouble. It's not that they're wicked. It's not that they intentionally get off the road that leads to their destination. It's just that they wander away, aimlessly, pointlessly, unintentionally. They stray from the care and protection of the shepherd. I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It is such a beautiful image. It makes you wonder how anybody could object to it. But according to the verse after the one that I stopped at the New Testament, it said that the leaders of the synagogue in Jesus' day were divided about Jesus' words. And by the way, when the Gospel of John speaks about Jewish people, most of the time it doesn't refer to all the Jewish people, but particularly to the group of the leaders who opposed Jesus and his teachings. In fact, these Jewish leaders even said about Jesus, he has a demon and is out of his mind. I find that odd, that by speaking of himself as the good shepherd, Jesus could stir up such anger among his opponents. He has a demon. He is out of his mind, they said. To grasp the extent of their anger, we need to understand that what is at stake when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, or I am the gate, or I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world. We need to go back to the book of Exodus, where Moses meets God at the burning bush. Moses, Moses, says God, I want you to go into Egypt and set my people free. And Moses says, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they say, what is this God's name? What do I tell them? And God said, I am who I am. Thus you say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. So I am is the name with which the Hebrew people spoke about God. And so when Jesus uses these same words and applies them to himself, it is nothing short of blasphemy. I am the bread of life. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. No wonder the Jewish leaders think he is possessed of a demon. He's applying to himself words that are reserved for God. So that's one thing we notice about this passage. The good shepherd not only cares for the sheep, he lays down his life for the sheep. There is no more moving metaphor for this story than the story many of us were privileged to learn as children in Sunday school. Think back. King Saul was wondering who would go out to fight the Philistine giant. What was his name? Right. You were there that day. Good. And that's when young David steps forward, David the shepherd boy, David who was still too small to fit into the king's armor. And he said to the king, "I used to keep my father's sheep, and whenever a lion or a bear came and took the lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned from me, I would grab it by the jaw and strike it down and kill it. I have killed both lions and bears, and this Philistine will be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." And as you know, this shepherd boy David grew up to be the king himself. And among the Psalms in the Bible traditionally attributed to him, the most splendid of all is the one we read, the 23rd, in which David sees God as the greatest shepherd of them all. This divine shepherd is the one who leads us beside the still waters, who restores our soul, who comforts us even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, who prepares a table for us and anoints our head with oil. Can you see, therefore, what an incredibly bold claim Jesus makes when he says, "I am the good shepherd. I am like the God of David's psalm. I am willing to lay down my life for the sheep." And of course, that's exactly what he did. We look at the direction of the cross that was outside the walls of Jerusalem, on which the Prince of Glory died. And we see that Jesus did indeed lay out his life for the sheep. Finally, let's notice this. The Good Shepherd reaches out to those outside of the flock and invites them to come in. "I have other sheep," says Jesus, "other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also." I wonder if any of you hear these words of his as a challenge to the church, a challenge to our church, to reach out to those who don't belong. Maybe it's people who have never belonged, or maybe it's people who long ago gave up on God and on the Church of Christ as well. My favorite sermon on Psalm 23 is called "Pursued by Mercy" by William H. Willimon, who was the chaplain of Duke University when he wrote this sermon. And he ends his wonderful sermon with this story. There was a mean old man who was bitter and resentful. His bitterness was justified, I suppose, because his dearly beloved wife had died giving birth to their only child. Not only that, but then the child died of complications from the birth. If anyone had reason to be bitter, this old man did. He never went to church, never had anything to do with anyone. And when, late in life, they carried him out of his apartment and over to the hospital to die, no one visited, no one sent flowers. He went there to die alone. But there was this nurse in the hospital. Actually, she wasn't a nurse yet. She was just a student nurse. And because she was just a student, she didn't know all those things they teach you in nursing school about professional detachment. You know, don't get involved emotionally with your patients. Treat them as an object of care, but keep your distance. Don't get involved. Well, this student nurse hadn't learned all of that. And so she befriended this bitter old man. And at first he resisted. "Go away," he growled. "Leave me alone." But she persisted. She smiled at him and coaxed him to eat his Jell-O. She tucked him in at night. And when her shift was over, she'd even go to his room and pull up a chair and sing to him as she held his gnarled old hand. One night he looked up from his bed at her and wondered whether he saw in her face the face of his own little girl who had died. And when she kissed him goodnight, he looked up from the hospital bed, and for the first time in 60 or 70, maybe 80 years, he said, "God bless you. God bless you," he said. And all because a young nurse had taken to heart the words of the Good Shepherd, who said, "I have other sheep, sheep who do not belong to this fold, and I must reach out to them also." And you see what she did, don't you? She made the mission of the Good Shepherd her mission as well. And so can we. Amen.